This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose, and all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to the Men's Room.
Hold on, Jones.
And away we go. Welcome to season 16, episode number 3,426. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, Chad Smith, and Mike Hawk. Hey, Jim, on the Men's Room. On tap today, once again, Ryan Castle joins us from his basement studio bar, and we will sit and spin. Today, the 10 best album opening songs of all times. We will play Profile This, plus headlines, Men's Room Shot of the Day, fun with listener emails, and everyone's favorite, TV Time with Tim.
Clack, clack.
All right, here we go to Pennsylvania, where Altoona man is charged after kicking two officers in the face. Meanwhile, a Johnstown, Pennsylvania woman tries to kick a cop after falling down the stairs at her place. Florida high school student Zoom class teaches POV, BDSM, and VR porn. Maine funeral home worker doesn't make it easy for a family to mourn. And a student's lottery numbers finally hit, and she forgets to buy a ticket. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, we all know that there are potentially dangerous or hazardous items around the house. I mean, it's a condition of living, right? But most of us, we recognize that we should not eat Tide Pods or stick knives in an electrical outlet or throw the toaster in the bathtub. But that doesn't mean that bad things don't happen from time to time with otherwise harmless household products. You think to yourself, what's the danger of an inflatable mattress? Well, it depends what you do with it. Sleeping on one, that's harmless enough. But using one, say, I don't know, as a raft in the Indian Ocean off the coast of Australia, terrible idea. Well, two Aussies made that discovery very recently. Long story short, lucky for them, a friend managed to rescue them before they died. And we've all heard the saying, don't run with scissors. And the point of that statement is obvious, but if you need additional motivation, consider the barber in Boston. He's giving a routine haircut. He trips, and he fell chest first onto his scissors. He had to have emergency open heart surgery. Now, sure, most of us know that air mattresses as ocean vessels and scissors stabbed into the chest are going to have a negative consequence, but we also have a list of 26 household items that can kill you. And it might actually surprise you. Toothpaste, magnets, your Christmas tree. We'll share more on that later. But first, we want you to think about your own near-fatal interactions with common items that you might have around the house, in the garage, something at work, and answered this question. What do you own, and how did you discover that it was potentially dangerous?
Hey, for the big show, call 206-421-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send those emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Homer Jones, and away we go. Welcome to season 16, episode number 3,426. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat as once again we welcome in Ryan Castle. He will join us from his basement studio bar. And once again, we will sit and spin. We'll go back to the days of album living.
One of my favorites.
That's right. When a band would release an entire body of work at one time.
Just at once.
Yeah. And then from there, you put that thing in your CD player, you put it on your record player, in your cassette deck or whatever, and the first thing you heard was the first song on that brand new album.
And it had to be good, man.
It better be good because you bought the damn thing, and now you're, right. Nine songs to finish. So either way, we do have some pretty good albums out there that come out with just an incredible song.
Right.
So what we have for you today is the 10 best album opening songs of all times.
Sometimes, though, you buy an album, and the first song is great, and then the rest of it is pretty atrocious.
Or the song that they're playing on the radio is one that you like, and then you get the album, and you realize, look, there's nothing else like that song
right, on this album,
and everything else is crap. And you listen to it two or three times, and, it just seems to be crap. But these all stand up as far as great albums as well.
Okay.
So they're all great albums.
Yep.
They just come out with a heater. And so these are the 10 best album opening songs of all time.
We have too many different definitions for a heater.
For a heater?
Because right. For me, a heater is what Mike did, as he says, by his own admission, in the middle stall earlier today in the back.
Okay, well, that's one,
There's the heater that you have in your home to heat your home, and otherwise a heater to me is I have to take a bad dump.
Okay.
Right? You could be on one in cards.
Yes.
Okay, see, fair enough. To me, it was a baseball term. So
no,
if you're going to
start. Okay, all right.
But you're right. The way you're saying heater, I'm like, Is heater the word you
want? I'm going to start off with a heater, man.
Well, I'm just saying that...
I know this guy.
I've heard the term heater probably four times today, and all of them were a reference to defecation. Right, so okay. To hear you say now, I'm like, well, it wasn't a warm pile of crap. They're actually very good.
No, it was a fastball. It's a banger, you know, one that you can knock the hell out.
Banger, see? Called a banger.
There you go.
Came out with that banger.
That's right.
Skinless banger.
Throw him a banger, see if he can hit it, man. Bring him the heat. Today on the question, we're going to talk about just basic things. What do you own and how did you discover it was potentially dangerous? If you're one of the people who have a car that can go 200 miles an hour, we understand the vehicle is potentially dangerous.
We know that. I mean, if you choose to drive it that way.
You are. I was on I-5 the other day and motorcycles were weaving in and out of traffic as traffic was stopped. It was a bad accident down in Tacoma, right, on I-5. And right when everybody stopped, man, these guys just are zipping through traffic, weaving in and out in between the car. And I'm like, wow, man, somebody's going to die. Because people are still switching lanes and stuff, you know what I mean? Trying to get over because the accident was blocking a couple lanes. This sounds like an advocate spot, but I swear to God, that's what was going on.
A guy did it this morning. It's coming into work on the express lanes, 5 South, and get downtown. And he did a real tight weave between two vehicles, my vehicle being one of them, cuts around the other person. And while part of me said, man, that seems dangerous, the way they chose to do it, a lot of me was really jealous as well.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I was him right now.
Sure. And you never know what can kill you. And you never know what can be potentially dangerous.
Everything.
Ted, you've not that they were your snowmobiles, but you went snowmobiling at one point in time. We know this has been a pretty bad avalanche year across the United States.
All right.
You almost threw one over top of a cliff. It had nothing to do with those situations. But you know, with the avalanche threat, one of the more dangerous things can be a pair of snowshoes.
Sure.
They're hanging up in your garage. I mean, so today we're going to talk about more of the things that are kind of like, you knew there was an element of danger, maybe you did not, but either way. But
it's situational. This is a true story. And if I said your bathtub could kill you, you would think of all the obvious things. I drop something electric in it, I drown in it, I slip and bump my head. Right.
Right.
Those are the normal things. This was years ago. A guy named Ronnie that I was friends with, about four of us are over at his house. We are in his living room, which is on the bottom floor. His mother, unbeknownst to us, nor did it matter to us, was taking a bath upstairs. The danger she discovered, it wasn't so much the bathtub itself, it's that she had bad floors. And her weight, along with the water in the bathtub, she came through the ceiling in the bathtub and smashed into the living room floor where we were. It is very hilarious looking back. It was funny then. It was.
Were you in the living room when this happened?
We were in his kitchen, so there's a doorway to the living room, and you kind of hear this noise, right? And I can't even explain it. It's kind of like a cracking, crunching sound, and everyone kind of looks at each other like, what is that? We look up. Now, keep in mind, this happened probably 15 feet away from where we're standing, but you look up because obviously the sound is coming from the ceiling. And this bathtub full of water and full of woman drops straight. And it's one of those old claw-tooth bathtubs, right? It's an old-ass row house, man. She came through the goddamn ceiling.
This was his mother?
This was his mom, dude. She's upstairs taking a bath.
And
she messed herself up because her arms were outside of the bath, all right? So she's taking a bath, not to get clean, but taking it to relax, that kind of thing. So obviously she's kind of sitting back in the bath, has her arms draped over because it messed up both of her shoulders, man. So this thing, and these are old row homes, so it's like a 13-foot
ceiling. Is this something that they owned or rented?
I believe they rented it.
Thank
I'm not
God.
100%.
Thank
but,
God.
I mean, I've never seen this in my life. And it's not that you wanted to laugh. It's not quite like that. You just recognize how severely humorous it kind of is, even though it's serious. But I mean, it's the tub came down, and when this thing crashed into the floor, you have to keep in mind, like, it's not like anything really, water splashed everywhere, but when it smashed into the floor, there is now a massive hole in the ceiling, but she's still in the bathtub with the water that's left, and her shoulders are messed up. Because, again, the bath, she's rushing her armpits on the edge of the bath, and there's this, I've never seen anything like this in my life, man. And, I mean, it's his mom. She's naked and big. But she's naked in the and she's screaming and yelling. She's in a lot of pain.
I bet she is.
Yeah, I mean, he had to call 911 and we left. I mean, that kind of wrapped up the day.
That was a good idea.
But I just thought, like,
and I'd leave, too, if you had a naked mom in a bathtub.
Well, yeah, that's terrifying and embarrassing for that kid. That had to be funny for you guys.
We laughed probably for about the next 4 days, man. I mean, we felt bad, but it's just like, we didn't realize that was the danger of being in a bathtub. I would have never.
I was afraid a shark was going to come up through the drain and get me.
But you know what's stupid about that is, I've always remembered that. And not that I take baths much, but every time I'm in the shower, it's just one of those fleeting thoughts. What if this goddamn thing goes through the floor?
But you were not kidding just about the bathroom in general, as far as old people when they fall. There's no more sharp objects in any home other than maybe a kitchen than there is in the bathtub, the bathroom, all that stuff.
So it's slippery, man. My dad, we just moved to Baltimore, and the house we were in, we were renting it for my uncle, but it was a new construction. And I'd never really pieced this together. But one thing about a brand new bathtub, they're super slick. Remember your parents used to buy those little rubber things? Mm-hmm. All right, so the bathroom, the wall divided my bedroom from the bathroom. My father's taking a shower before work, and you kind of hear, you know, when you watch basketball and you hear the sneakers kind of screech on the floor, you kind of hear that, but it's his feet. No big deal, because everyone that got in that shower, I cannot explain how slick it was. We always kind of fought to maintain balance. So I hear him slipping around, then you hear this massive thud. Basically what had happened, he slipped, grabbed the shower curtain, ripped the pole out of the wall, hit the floor, naked and wet, slid all the way across the bathroom, smashed his head on the bathroom mm-hmm. door. He messed himself up bad.
Yeah.
And again,
oh yeah,
this is just the bathroom. He didn't do anything weird. You just slipped and fell. And it's like you realize, like, yeah, this bath is designed to kill us.
Mm-hmm. And you buy things that you know are going to be dangerous. About 13, 14 years ago, the deep fried turkey craze, that was all the rage, right? So what do yeah. I do when I'm at the Home Depot? I'm like, there it is. There's the big pot. There's the burner. I'm going to hook this thing up with some propane. We all got together. We tried to do it. Unfortunately, the day it was raining.
Yep.
So there is a little courtyard in the back of my place that's a driveway type area, but it's in a townhome. So it's surrounded by buildings. And I had the idea that I was going to try deep fried turkey probably 2 years later. I'm going to finally do this, get this done on my own. I kind of basically got the grease going. I set the thing to the line and all that stuff. The bird was completely thawed out. It was completely padded dry. I put that bird down in there, and the oil blew over all the top.
Right.
All right? Blew over the top. The flame's still on. The propane tank's
that's
right
the
there.
Problem. Right.
You know, it's not very long of a cord, so you can't really take it too far away from the actual burner that's on a stand. Everything bubbles over onto the driveway. I don't know what to do. By the time that it finally, I shut the nozzle off on the propane. It still was bubbling over. The turkey is still down inside of there. It's got a big hook on it. Right,
right.
So, but the hook is now submerged. So I can't even grab that thing because it's covered in hot oil. At that point in time, I took that bird out, man, and I patted it down. I let the oil drain. I got rid of the oil, and I determined I am never trying this again. Because I could have burned down a four-town home. I mean, the flame that shot out of there was amazing.
I mean, and this is every year, right?
There's not raining.
All the warnings.
There was no water involved. I followed the directions to the T. I watched videos on how to do it safely. I did all the things. You know what I mean? I read the instructions.
Did you slowly put the turkey in?
Yes.
I'm trying to think of all the things I could
yes.
think of.
Well, could I mean, there must have been some wetness.
There had to be.
Right.
I mean, that's all it takes is what? Yeah, a drip or two of water.
The least little bit of water and that thing goes up. And then the problem is when all the stuff hits the flame that's burning it, that's where your problem really lies. By the way, a comment just came in. I was talking about my buddy, my father slips in the shower. Someone says, I had a cousin slip in the shower and die in her 20s. It's probably 15 years ago.
Wow.
But that's the issue, is that it's wet in the bathroom, and generally you're close to everything.
If
you fall in your living room, like, there's a good chance you're not going to hit the coffee table.
That's the only real thing you have to worry about. No, didn't you, like, when you ate that weird mushroom?
Right.
Wasn't part of your problem, like, when you passed out, like, you hit your head on something?
I slammed my ribs into the pedestal in the sink and broke my ribs. And that's all I remember.
Yeah, I mean, that's right.
And I knocked my head. I mean, but the ribs were the worst. I mean, I don't care about a lacerated face. It's more
sure,
about the
ribs.
It's like it feels like someone just stabbed me in the lung. You know what I mean?
Someone says, the bathroom is the most dangerous room in the home for elderly people. My dad has a couple of falls in his older years. Grab bars are a game changer. You think about these late night infomercials.
Those suction cup grab bars. There's about 10 of them in the shower where my grandmother lives. And so you get in there, man, and you can't even move because there's so many bars to hold on to. It's like you can't even put like a bar of soap someplace.
Well, I mean, think about it. They advertise, you know, the late night, the old person bath.
Mm-hmm.
They don't.
We open the little door.
Open the door. You don't have to step as high. There's a place to sit. Like, look, we understand all the things that befall you.
Right.
You don't have to lift your leg up. Just sit the hell down and get
okay,
wet.
Like right now, if you're like just a normal human being living your life, right? You really don't have to take a lot of care for your feet.
But something happens when you retire. Like, I don't know what happens. Like
the day you retire.
Your feet, like, it's not like you're working in boots all day or you're out there trudging around. You know what I mean? Like, my grandma's feet, I look at them, I'm like, what happened? You know, it's like they're just dying first. You know what I mean? Like, they're all nasty and dry and the nails look all gunky and it looks like fungus and dead skin.
Yeah, what happens to the blotchy toe nails?
And so my grandmother's got to sit there and she sits on her stool, right? And
pumice her feet.
And then she's got one of those wooden brushes, right? And she would kind of hang up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she scrubs her feet with these things, right? With this brush. And then she hangs the brush up. And then the bristles on the brush, I look at them and they're all like black and like moldy looking and nasty ass, and you can still see like the pieces of skin hanging off.
Yeah, it's like pulp and orange juice.
And it's just like,
except it's not pulp.
It's almost like, you know, I don't know what happens. The feet just go first. You know what I mean? It's like the hands are fine, but the feet just, like, what happened to your feet, man? It's almost like, you know, that's serious. Like, you walk through the woods barefoot. So let's start in Australia. Two guys found themselves in a bit of a pickle after finding themselves stranded more than a mile off the coast of Western Australia. According to 7 News, Jackson Perry and Noah Palmer, they were chilling at a beach house last Saturday when they decided to hit the high seas aboard a blow-up bed with some beer to keep them company. Perry said their initial plan was to go out, drift around in the water for a while, but it began to unravel after they found themselves at the mercy of the wind aboard a vessel that had no ability to navigate. The duo experienced their first moment of panic after realizing that they were running out of beer. So they began to drink all that. Then they realized that maybe was the least of their problems, as they soon discovered the mattress had carried them into the Indian Ocean and was leaking air. And the phones that they were using to help a friend locate them were slowly dying.
Uh-oh.
Palmer eventually started diving into the water at regular intervals, because that's where the nozzle was to be able to...
Oh, he's trying to blow it back up?
Yeah, he's trying to blow up the inflatable raft while he's treading water under the water, because it's leaking air, right? Well, eventually, they get a hold of their buddy, who brings a jet ski, and they stage a valiant rescue by hopping aboard a jet ski, and then basically, they hauled one guy back on the mattress to dry land. After spending 3 hours in the water, they did get an assist from a volunteer rescue worker who brought them and the mattress to shore once they got close
enough. How far out do you think these guys were? That even on a jet ski, this guy obviously had to go quite
a distance. Mile off the coast of Western Australia. More than a mile off the coast of Western Australia. And apparently, these guys are exactly who you think they are.
When the guys drinking beer and inflatable mattress in the Indian Ocean.
With the TV cameras, they came to interview these guys. They were exactly who you think that they would be. They were just kind of surfer dudes, kind of drunks, very Australian, very outback looking. You know, they had the whole.
It just seems crazy to have that thing out in the ocean.
I mean, again, that's one of those moments where I understand maybe in a large pool or even a lake. Right, but the ocean, like, we're not getting on your air mattress, man. It's the Indian Ocean.
Yeah.
It's not Chehalis. I'd be like, all right, we'll get, because if something goes wrong, whatever, right? We'll figure it out. I feel safe. But the ocean, and it's the Australian Ocean.
That's again what I'm talking about.
Again,
that's where I'm freaking the hell
aside out. Aside from anything that might do with this thing leaking air, the creatures that choose to exist here, I'm not getting on an air mattress.
No, because you know what can happen. All they need to do is come up and just test what's going on. Most great white sharks come up and it'll bite the back of a motor or something like that, or the side of a pontoon, just to see what the hell it is, because they want to eat and they think it might be food, right? So even if you're in a diver cage, you watch the videos. The great white comes up,
the thing,
he just bites it, tries to see what it is, see if it's edible. If it's not, he moves on, right? Well, if you're on an inflatable mattress, he hit the jackpot.
Well, he might think to himself, well, it's not edible, but it seems like there's two morsels on
top
of it.
And he can smell you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like a cutting board with two pieces left.
On an inflatable mattress. It's also still the ocean. Like, forget the sharks. Like, what about drowning?
Yeah, you know? Right.
Like, because what happened is what happens. There's currents.
That's why most of us don't take an air mattress into the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I have been in that situation before where you go over to somebody's house. Like, no, dude, stay with me. Stay with me. You know what I mean? Like,
oh,
no,
an air mattress?
Yes, but it's not like the kind that comes up and it's like, you know, like, I don't know, maybe 2-3 feet off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's the old Coleman one. It's all rubber. You know what I mean? And it's got the...
Oh, like the camping one.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, this ain't a mattress. I want the kind that has the inflatable thing that goes, you know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah, if you got to blow it up
the
yourself.
The aero beds are the best.
That's what I mean. I want an aero bed.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
The aero beds are awesome.
Oh, dude, I got an inflatable mattress. Sweet. I have no problem with that. And I'm like, oh, dude, it's Coleman.
You ever been at a party where somebody's like, don't worry, I got like a, you know, and it's like it's not the arrow bed, but it's like the next version
some equivalent,
down.
Yeah.
And you're like, this will work. And then you kind of wake up in the middle of the night. It's not still inflated.
Right.
Yeah, that's what you're just laying on top
how many
of
material.
Right. Or you're just like, either your legs are down or your head's down. You're just like, why am I at this weird angle?
How many stories did we read last year about the, what is it, the unicorn floating thing? The big ass unicorn?
Was it a kid or was it a woman who
it's like a rainbow unicorn, man? It was like
a ton of unicorn
bays, but there's a really big floating thing. Like,
but again,
two or three people can get on these.
It's not
things.
A seafaring vessel. And they would start drifting out. So, and you can't control it. Like, well, you're going to go where the current goes. I don't know why people go, well, I'm in the ocean, but I have an inflatable unicorn. The current won't affect me.
Yep.
Yes,
yeah, I mean,
will.
Look, I've seen them on rivers and stuff, but
again,
you're talking about rivers that are going one direction and that nothing is above your chest if it's that deep.
It just still doesn't seem like the kind of vessel that I want to be the captain of.
Again, it depends.
Okay, look.
The ocean, I'm not playing that crap at all. A lake, a river, whatever. Let's hop on a wood pallet. We're in a lake, right? We can forget the ocean. No.
You know what the equivalent is to get on that? It's like getting on one of those sleds that's just the disc. So it's the circle. Like, you can get on that thing, and you can tear off down the mountain, but you can't steer.
I discovered that at a young age.
Control. You'll turn around backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think you can stay frontwards, you're crazy. You can't steer it in the first place. And you start spinning around. You have no control. You know, like the old wooden toboggans, those big sleds that were, you couldn't steer those either. So you're just rolling the dice.
Now, I will say this.
You can steer them a little better.
When I was a little kid, we had just the saucer. And my brother and I would get down there and it was fun. And then we did realize, like, if we're aiming toward a tree, we're going to hit the tree or we're going to bail. And it wasn't as much fun because every time we got on it, you felt like your life was going to
end. It's dangerous.
Then we had the regular red sled, the plastic one. You can steer it a little bit based on body weight, but not enough. And then my dad got me one of those wooden ones with the red rails.
Right. Now you can steer those.
Mostly. That's also when I broke my ankle because we hit a tree. I mean, it steered better than the other ones, but not awesome.
We had the saucer one. I remember one bad one is because we got tired of going on our butts, so we would ride them on our knees.
Yeah.
Oh. But you'd spin around and just kind of hit your head. But then we got like the plastic long ones, which were pretty good because you could put your hands out and steer them. But then sometime when I was around a teenager, people had money and it started with the inflatable ones. And I mean, those things fly down a sledding hill.
But again, but you can't control them, right?
That's what I mean. You can't
steer
them.
I don't know. We were broke. We never had them.
Oh, those are the expensive ones.
Oh, yeah. Fancy people.
What'd you own and how did you discover that it was potentially dangerous? 206-421-ROCK.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Men's Room is in progress. 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle.
An event in India recently wound up costing the life of a human. BBC reports that a man in the village in the Telangana state had outfitted his rooster with a knife to ready it for an illegal cockfight last week, when the bird then attempted to escape. As the owner tried to grab it, the animal wound up stabbing him with the 3-inch knife strapped to its leg, into his groin.
Oh.
The owner reportedly died from loss of blood while en route to the hospital. Now, in addition to charges relating to holding an illegal fight, some 15 organizers could face manslaughter charges. Bird was taken to an area police station and was expected to be transferred to a farm after serving as evidence in court. Yes, the rooster accidentally stabbed him in the groin and killed him.
You know it was an accident?
I'm not sure.
Just saying.
What do you own and how did you discover that it was potentially dangerous? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Ben. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
So, growing up, I always wondered why people, like in movies and stuff, removed rings when they were about to get into a fight. I always figured that it was because they didn't want to damage the ring. Well, when I was a kid, I had this really thin gold band that I would wear sometimes. And in school, one day I started stretching my hand out, just pretending to yawn so I could just smack my friend in the face, just jokingly. I caught him in the eyeball with that ring. It broke, like, every blood vessel in his eye, man. It was bad.
How bad did you feel?
I felt so bad. He was one of my best friends, especially at the time. And so I played it off completely like it was 100% accident. I was just yawning. I didn't even pay attention. The substitute teacher sent us to the office for fighting. And once we explained to the principal what actually happened, he just kind of laughed it off and sent us home. But no, his eye was bloody red for probably about a month or two.
Jesus.
Did he remain your friend?
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. Right. He thought it was just 100% an accident. But, I mean, like, I purposefully tried to smack him, but I didn't want to do all that.
Okay. Well, of course.
Yeah.
So, did you ever tell him that, it was not the eye part, but you intentionally wanted to hit him?
Oh, no, not at all. It was always just, I'm so sorry, man. Oh, man, I'm so sorry. Hey, remember that time? And then it just turned into a funny story.
Jimmy Fallon almost lost his ring finger because apparently he injured himself in the kitchen and the ring caught a hold of something.
Mm-hmm.
And he almost ripped his finger off. I'm not sure how intoxicated he was or if he was stone cold sober or what exactly happened.
I remember that
he was
drunk.
There was one in a bar, too, where he messed up his hand.
Yeah, that's when he was drunk. I'm not sure. I remember he almost tore off his finger with the ring finger. I don't know if he was drunk or not, but I'm guessing he was.
What do you own and how do you discover that it was potentially dangerous? 206-421-ROCK.
I know some people that swear by the ring finger, too. Like the ring. Like, you know, like people used to get the standard, like, gold ring?
Yeah.
So I knew a guy, he was like a fireman and stuff. He's like, I can't tell you how many times something's, like, fell on my hand or whatever, and the ring is helped.
Oh, prevented it?
Huh. Yeah.
Okay. Hello, David. Welcome to the men's room.
Yo, what's up, Thrill? How you doing?
Hola!
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 Three of them in a row. That's what's up. Hey, I'm calling you guys from sunny San Jose, California, where they took you guys off the air. Man, I'm so mad.
Oh, well, man.
You're mad.
We actually love being down there. You know, we were doing really well down there for a while.
Until the parent company heard our actual show.
Yeah, that was the problem.
That's a true story. The guy that was there said, man, you need to put these guys on live. I really like the show. The parent company said, well, you know what? Just send us a tape. We'll give it a listen. And after they listened, they said, take them off the air entirely.
Right. So we went from almost being on an afternoon's live to losing the gig completely. That's kind of how our syndication thing went in a nutshell.
Yeah, people started actually listening, going, wait, what is this?
This is great. We love it. We got all kinds of response from there. We got a San Jose hockey gear. Man, it was nice.
You guys were on at about 10 o'clock to 2 in the morning, and I would drive home really messed up, and I heard you guys one time randomly. I'm like, what is this? I've been a fan ever since.
That was another tough sell. Ask 100 people, what's your favorite radio show after 10 o'clock at night?
Yeah.
See what they come up with. Because I can't think of one. And I'm in the damn industry.
My family thought there'd be something wrong with me, man. I'll go hang out in my car at nighttime.
Yeah. So what do you own, and how'd you discover it was potentially dangerous?
Man, I think I was 17. I owned a 98 Toyota Camry. And I realized it was dangerous when I took my friend's advice. And he said that there's something wrong if you're not having to replace your stuff, so drive it like it's stolen. Well, I was going 60 down the street about out of 25 mile per hour zone. And there's a little dip in the road, kind of makes it a ramp. But it's only on one side, so I hit it really hard. I was a little intoxicated with some friends, and I hit it really hard, and only the right side popped up about 2 feet, and we kept going 60 miles an hour, but the drinks, the substances, everybody on the right side flew up, and everybody on the left side kind of laughed. man, and just the feeling of like, whoa, what did I do? That I realized the driving a vehicle while a teenager is really dangerous.
Yes, it is.
Yes,
it is. It's the biggest fear of any parent in the world is knowing that their kid's going to be able to drive, realizing that they are definitely going to get in a wreck within the first year. What is the severity of that accident going to be like? What is the car that they're driving? Will it be able to potentially help them more than hurt them as far as based on the size of the car?
You know your kids are going to drive it the way you drove it, which is, I'm going to see how fast this can go.
Right. And the problem is not your child driving by themselves. The problem is that when your child gets in the car with their friends.
Oh, yeah.
That's when it hits the
floor. Time to show off.
Thrill is right, though. I have gone through this, you know, now that I'm in my 40s. Like, I have plenty of friends who are like, can you believe my kid drives like this? It's like,
yes.
Have you been in a car with you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you drive like a maniac. Like, you know what I mean? Like, look, if you want to speed or whatever, it's something. Like,
yeah.
It's your car. Your prerogative. But you can't be shocked when your kids drive the same way you do.
Your kids are probably going to do all the same things you did at roughly the same age. They're having sex, they tried drugs, they got in a car accident. Like, right, if they're 50, this is a thing. Or if they're in those teen years, like, this is what you do. You did it, right? I did it. Everyone I know did it. Your kid's not going to be any different.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you just...
Yeah, and sometimes, too, it's just the cars. Like, there's only so fast you're going to really push a Topaz.
Right.
You know what I mean? But, like, as cars have gotten better and cheaper over the years,
sure.
Sometimes, like, 17-year-old kids are just like, that car goes pretty damn fast.
I mean, I'm doing it now. I'm a little smarter about it, but inevitably, if you get a new vehicle, like, let's open this up and see what it can do, right?
Yeah.
Just one.
Yeah.
You can't help yourself, man. So certainly, when you're 17 and you hop into a car, like, I'm gunning this bitch.
I did it based on the airbags in the car. So my kid got like a $2,000 car. Well, it's a car. The car's fine, right? But it was a 2006 Volvo. Things got 900 airbags in it. So I'm just like, you know what? If I'm going to spend $2,000 on the car, it's going to have
that's why you bought it.
Million airbags in it. That's exactly right.
Man, Volvos are weird. Like, I like Volvos. They're good cars.
Yeah,
but there's
yeah.
something about the Volvo neighborhood. And I don't know how to describe it. Like, when I grew up in D.C., like, my buddy, his dad worked on Capitol Hill. And I remember he had a Volvo.
Station wagon?
No, he had like the standard Volvo, like four door sedan. But it's just funny, even like in the neighborhood I live in, if you go down closer, like to the backside or whatever, there's like older houses with like family, and it's like,
yeah.
The Volvos are never new.
No.
They're always used or whatever, but I don't know how to explain it. Like,
it's like a professor car.
It is.
Yeah.
I feel like Volvos are in the same neighborhood where you find a lot of original Volkswagen Beetles.
Or a guy who wears like a houndstooth sport jacket.
He has patches on the elbows of his suit.
Back to the pipe guy. The pipe dog. What do you own and how did you discover that it was potentially dangerous? 206-421.
I'm still thinking about that fancy SOB.
Let's go to my favorite state in America, New Hampshire. Hello, Shannon. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello, la.
Hola.
It's been a long time.
It has been a long time. Thank God.
Anything new and exciting happened in New Hampshire since the last time we talked to you?
Oh, a stabbing here, gunshot there. Very windy today, though.
Oh, really? Well, yeah, you guys are getting a big front that's blowing through there. You're going to get a lot of rain, too, here in the next couple days.
Well, it was the high of 17 or 20 degrees today. Tomorrow's going to be 44.
There you go.
Oh, that's a big difference.
A high of 17. That is ridiculous.
Yeah, you got a big storm coming up that way.
Yeah, rain or snow. How do you know and I don't?
Because most of my family lives in the area where those general currents tend to go northeast toward you guys when they're done.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So what did I have, or what do I own?
Yeah. That was the question, but you don't have to answer it if you want. We just talked to you about New Hampshire.
Yeah, let's talk about... No, I'm just kidding. Okay. My cat.
What happened? How did it get dangerous?
Well, when someone... I got him as a kitten. He was 7 weeks old. Nobody told me it was part feral.
What do you mean, part feral?
In other words, he's not... fully feral. Let me see.
So he was. So wait a minute. You can domesticate a cat at birth?
No. Miles Montgomery, you're the one that told me when I told you my cat bites me that he's feral.
Well, I did not know you raised the cat.
Yeah,
that's different. You know what I mean? Because like I got a stray cat that was living under a house that ran out into the street and got hit by a car. So he never had a home before.
No, and he was 7 weeks old, and he killed a couple mice in the apartment. And I don't know if that gave him the taste of blood or... He's just feral, period, because he bites me all the time.
I think he doesn't like you.
Yeah,
that's a dangerous cat. Are you sure?
Yeah, because, like, in the colder months, you know, if I'm laying on my side or something and my knees are bent, he'll lay in the crook of my knee, leg there.
But again, is that because he likes you or because you're warm?
Maybe because I'm warm.
Yeah. I'm not convinced the cats like anybody.
Yeah, then okay.
Maybe he doesn't like his name.
Look, we had the story the other day about the lynx in B.C. where the farmer picked it up. We talked about it a couple times. He was eating the chicken, right?
What?
Well, the Department of Wildlife said, look, those things, even if they are only 12, 10 pounds, they can take off a human arm.
Yeah.
So 10, 12 pounds is not too much different than the size of an average house cat. You know?
He is. He's about 13 pounds.
Okay. How many cats do you have?
One.
Okay.
Just him because I'm afraid to get a kitten.
Well, he'll probably eat him. That's a good sign.
Yeah. Your cat already doesn't like you. I mean, I know people are convinced their cats like them. I'm convinced they don't. You feed them, so they tolerate you. But beyond that, they don't care for you one way or another.
They're not waiting for you at the door.
No. I mean, I get home, man, and like the dog, I call her Shakira, because before I get to the door, she's standing there and her ass is shaking so much. So exciting that I'm home. It goes to this whole goddamn song and dance. Go down to the basement, look at the cat. The cat looks at me. That's it.
So Rainbow Janet has no reaction.
Rainbow Janet doesn't care if you're not feeding
her. So Rainbow, she doesn't come over and sit on your lap or anything?
She'll do that, but again, I'm not convinced. Like, if I sit down to watch TV down there, the cat will walk over and climb up my lap, go to sleep, whatever. But I'm not convinced it's doing it because it loves me. Because there's no real interaction. It's like, I'm warm. That's it. The dog, it's entirely different. I don't question if that dog loves me. I know it does. Mm-hmm. A little too much.
Yeah, some people have cats, you don't even see them.
Hey, man, I haven't seen your cat, but I've been staying with you for 2 weeks. Like, oh, they're around.
Yeah.
You know, but you don't look for your cat. You don't care. It's just, if food is missing, you're like, good enough. If you could, I mean, like, it'd be fine if my dog obviously ate food, but if I couldn't find the dog for 2 weeks, it'd be really strange.
Well, my cat couldn't see, so she was very, very vocal, or he, whatever the hell he was. So I could go like, I know.
You can tell you love him. I don't know what
it was. I go like, hey, because he's doing sleep with me. And I go like, stop me! And I hear him now saying, yeah. It's like, all right, just making sure you're alive. What are you owning now? That's how did you discover that it was potentially dangerous? 206-421-ROCKS.
I'm not even checking if you're okay. Just checking to see if you're alive.
Did I step on you?
Hello, Toby. Welcome to the men's room.
Oh, hey.
Hello. Hola.
Hola.
Hola. Okay.
How many people are on here? Hello?
It's just me. I'm in my car. I'm in the Jeep with my friend sitting here.
Okay.
We heard what you guys were talking about today, and this just happened 5 days ago, and I have something ridiculous to share with everybody.
All right.
Okay, my friend was moving and relocating his trailer, so we wanted to make sure he had a safe place while it was getting relocated. So my roommate inflated him a couch. It was an inflatable couch, and I guess it had a hole in it or a leak somewhere. So halfway through the night, it started, like, it looked like it was eating him. The top part folded in and half his body disappeared.
Was he asleep?
And then he was asleep, yes.
Okay.
We had a cup of coffee. Yeah, he was asleep. He was exhausted because he was trying to move all day and stuff.
And you put him on an inflatable couch.
Inflatable couch.
That's love.
Yeah, it was an inflatable couch, and we wanted to keep him warm and safe, and I tried to wake him up, but he was really tired. So but by the time half his body disappeared into the thing, like the top part, well, the armrest like went first, and then the back started deflating and going over his body, and then when his head started disappearing, I grabbed his head to wake up. I was scared because he looked like he couldn't breathe.
So you saved your friend's life that you went to bed on an inflatable couch.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Let me ask you this. When you help someone move and they have an inflatable couch.
What is going on, Mike?
Do you deflate it before you move it or do you keep it inflated?
I don't think these things are supposed to be used, actually. The victim's right here.
You guys can fight about it.
Yeah, well.
I don't know.
The victim.
And I'm like, if it's an inflatable couch, like, it's probably not heavy enough to choke him. I get that he was folded up inside of it.
Right.
And then they're like, you're supposed to inflate him. Like,
yeah, you are.
What are we talking about?
It's an inflatable couch.
I mean, it's called an inflatable couch, right. So I would assume if I'm going to move it, maybe deflate it.
It's not what I would pick for my living room.
No.
Oh, that's nice.
But I've been there before.
Yeah, I have to. I have an inflatable chair that I busted. What do you own, and how did you discover that it was potentially dangerous? 206-421-ROCK.
I think inflatable couch is right there with the, again, just an age bracket.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Sure. Absolutely. Or it's in your garage for your man cave, right?
Yeah.
Hello, Ryland. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola! Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing great, Rylan. How are you, man?
Just finishing up my work day.
Nice.
Okay.
So, I had a buddy of mine when we were probably about 8 or 9 years old. We used to ride the bus together, became good friends, and went over to his house. He's like, hey, my dad's got some golf clubs and some balls. I like to drive him down the driveway. I said, cool, let's do it, you know? So... first time around with me, of course, he's standing too close behind me, and I swing the golf club, and I split his cheek open from his nose to his ear.
Jeez!
Yeah, so we're not friends anymore, obviously.
That was the end of it, way back then?
Yeah, well, I mean, I still try to be his friend, but his parents were like, no, you can't hang out with him, we're not, you can't come over no more, it was kind of an awkward situation.
Wait, did they think you did it on purpose?
Well, no, because they knew what we were doing. You know what I mean? It was just something. He just happened to be too close behind me when I swung.
And that ended the friendship?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, like I said, we were really good friends. We rode the bus together, went to school, everything. We were the same age, and his parents just kind of said, no more hanging out with that guy, I guess. I don't know.
All right.
Damn.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty rough.
I mean, usually as a parent, you go, hey, get over it.
We all
made a mistake.
I mean, that's pretty brutal on the injury front, but I mean, we all hurt each other.
Sure, I watched my son get punched in the face. His buddy knows karate, I guess it is, and he's pretty good at it. And he's showing him some moves. And it's what now, as an adult, we know what not to respond to. For example, try to punch me. If someone says that, they have a move in store that's going to bring you grief, right? Mm-hmm.
Correct.
I knew this. My son didn't, so he did what the kid instructed, and the kid showed this karate move very effectively.
Right.
It dropped my kid in a heartbeat. So I let him cry for a minute. I'm like, you all right, man? Yeah. I said, okay, look, and take my word for this. And the only reason I didn't stop you is because experience is a better teacher than words. The next time someone says, tried to hit me, don't.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yeah.
If they know it's coming and they asked you to do it and you're not actually fighting, they have something in store that's going to bring you pain. And I was like, by the way, just so you know, your buddy's pretty good at it because he popped you straight in the face.
Well, it's like that fight a couple weeks ago with the Oklahoma football player.
He just, right.
Right. When the other guy just kind of gives him that soft little love tap on the cheek, like, that's a wrap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would never just, you either got to hit somebody or smack them, but to just kind of glance somebody's face, like, that guy has no fear at that point.
None. And you should register that in your head, like, okay, how do I get out of this?
Really, like, why is he caressing my face? He knows something I don't know.
Good times.
He knows how to beat my ass.
Right? Mike, you know what I'm saying.
Trying,
like,
to be nice.
Yeah, what are you going to do now? Like, I'm going to run away, because that's creepy.
I told you, man, and there's a certain, I saw my buddy get punched. A guy was an amateur boxer, but actually wasn't even a buddy of mine, just someone we knew, but he kept antagonizing the guy at the bar, and the guy was being so cool about it, we knew the guy must be a badass, just... Hey, sorry, man. Even though it wasn't his fault, but sorry, man. Don't worry about it. Let me buy you a beer. Anything just to defuse the situation. This dude, Chuck, would not let it go, and he put his hands on this guy. And the guy's buddy said, hey, man, if I'm you, I would not put your hands on my friend. Chuck's like, what are you going to do about it? Guy's like, I'm not going to do anything, but my buddy here, I'm telling you, he's going to mess you up. Of course, these are the wrong word, blah, blah, blah. This guy gets up, punches this dude, Chuck, in the stomach. And as my friend Hollywood explains, he said, I swear to God, your forehead hit your toes on the back of this guy's elbow. He hit you so hard. Then he called him the Transformer because he buckled into a different shape, hit the floor. Anyway, we find out the guy that he was antagonizing for no reason, amateur boxer.
What do you own, and how did you discover that it was potentially dangerous? 206-421-ROCK.